Blog Talk Radio.
You miss me? I miss all of y'all. Hey! All y'all girls standing together like that. I can't take it.
GP locker room, and we are as excited as we've ever been for a show. We have a very special guest tonight, and as always, we try to bring guests into the locker room that are going to feed into our young athletes and their families and help you guys out along your football journey. There's many highs and lows that come with football, but we're big believers that before you go pro, that if you surround yourself with the right people and you learn from the right people, then it's going to make the trip a whole lot easier. And tonight's show is right in line with that. We have Coach Andy Rondo from the University of Pace back in New York, and he is the head coach of the team, and there's so much content and information that we want to get to tonight, and I think we already have Coach Rondo on the line, so let's join him in. Coach Rondo, can you hear me?
I can, Coach Wood. How are you?
I'm doing great, Coach, and I know that you're on the East Coast time, so it's getting late out there, and we just appreciate your time so much. I know you're also in training camp, so we definitely appreciate you coming on tonight.
No worries. I think you stand for a great program, and I have evidence of that here in our training camp, and a young man we recruited through you. And so no worries. We finished with a team meeting not too long ago, and we finished our team meeting with a personal development segment. And so we wrapped that. They got some snack and do a little bit of practice planning and call it a night shortly.
Great, great. Well, talk to us a little bit, Coach. Where are you guys as far as training camp? Is this first week, second week?
Well, this is our first week in Division II. We reported last week, so we were able to complete our 5 acclimatization days. Those are the days where you kind of ease into it. Anymore, the NCAA has it set up such that most everybody has the same training camp. And so we had those 5 days, and then following that, today was our first 2-a-day practice.
So the boys are probably ready to get to bed, huh, and work out some soreness.
Yeah, I think we got them today, particularly in the morning. Our format kind of calls for us to get our work done in the morning, and we do a little bit more polish and a less contact in the afternoon, but we'll go right back at it tomorrow. You know, like most everybody else, it's a grind. It's a good grind.
Definitely. Well, we want to get right to it, Coach, because we don't want to keep you long, but there are some things that I would love for our kids and parents to hear tonight. Just to get into a little bit of your background, can you tell us where you're from and how you got started with football?
Sure. I grew up in Massachusetts in the Northeast in a suburb of Boston, about 25 miles west of Boston, little town. And, I played high school football there, and I happened to be there at a point in time where it was a very strong football program, a lot of tradition coming in, and it was a great thing for me in my development early on. And I had great coaches and some really good players, too, in a little small town. and I fell in love with it. I wasn't one of those really good players. I was just one of those guys who appreciated the game, you know, and we won a lot of games and was fortunate to have a lot of success as a program. So I was hooked on the concept of team football. I loved it from that point forward.
And was football the only sport you played, Coach, or were you a multi-sport kid?
No, I was track and football. You know, I dabbled with some basketball, but I'm not all that tall and probably all that good at it for that matter either. So I dabbled with some basketball, but really it was football and track through most of high school years.
And talk to us a little bit about the decision to actually pursue coaching. Did somebody, one of your former coaches, tell you that you'd be a great coach, or was it just something that kind of chose you?
That's an interesting one. You know, I don't know what happened. I feel like it's part of me, and it's probably not who I am, but it's what I do. But I really don't know what I would do if it weren't for coaching. I always say I'm a bit of a house cat. It's a big world out there, and there's a lot of things I could probably do well, but I don't know a whole lot of it after 24 years of coaching college football. I had a really unique experience in college. I chose to go to Syracuse University and to pursue communications, but I didn't end up doing that. Like a lot of people, I changed my major. And I tried to walk on at Syracuse, and that was a point in time where Syracuse, again, was really good. And there was a really direct and positive graduate assistant who said to me, "Hey, what are you trying to do here?" And I said, "You know, I really miss this in my life, and I just want to help the team." And he said, "You know, it's going to be near impossible for you to play." I said, "I understand that, you know, but I'd just like to help the team in any way I can. I'd like to contribute and help what I can. I don't mind the idea of scout team." And he said, "Well, let me hit you real straight here. If we're getting ready to play Ohio State, we've got to have somebody who can represent that. Do you feel like you can do that?" And I said, "Well, I don't know that I can." He said, "Well, then if you really want to help the team, what you'll do is you'll be a student manager. That's a way that you can truly help the team and you can fulfill a role." So I did it. And it was an unbelievable experience, and a lot of good coaches who have gone on to have a lot of success at a lot of levels who were strong influences for me early. And that was the point in time in my senior year where I said, I really can't imagine doing anything else in my life other than trying to pursue coaching.
Wow, that's a great story. And whoever that assistant coach was, we're definitely glad that he gave you that word of advice. Did you feel like you missed actually being on the field, or was coaching, being a student coach, was that something that kind of got your juices flowing?
You know, you probably are hitting it right there. I would guess I kind of consider myself a little league psychologist. Now, I would say I probably had unmet need. You know, I wasn't done in my mind with being associated with football, and that was one of the attractions to football, you know, really good people and really good program. And that's really why I chose to go to Syracuse. I like the idea of that big stage, certainly for us in the Northeast, it was a big stage and a point in time where they were doing really well in the late 80s. And so I like the idea of that atmosphere and all that. However, you know, I really had no idea what it took to play at the, literally no idea. You know, so I'd come from a good high school program where we had won all but one game in my junior and senior year. And that's what I knew. That was my fishbowl. That was as big as it got for me in my world. And then I got into an environment like that where I was in winter conditioning with some superior athletes who ended up having stellar college and even professional. And it was pretty clear that I was a little different. I wasn't quite like them, you know. So when Joel Collier was the coach. He's gone on to have a successful NFL coaching career after being a graduate assistant there way back when, 20-some years ago. And, you know, it was really a blessing. It was, you know, at the end of the day, my ability was what it was, and I wasn't destined for something like that, but it certainly was an opportunity for me to stay around football, stay engaged with football, and really, you know, as a guy who didn't play in college, I've always felt like I've had to add a point of difference as a coach. What's my point of difference? How can I distinguish myself? How can I do something as well or better than anybody else? And I found those ways through the years to try to stay competitive and stay in coaching and be progressive and, you know, be humble and learn the game.
And you definitely have, Coach. I mean, your resume as far as where you've been and coaches that you've coached with speaks for itself. You've been at the University of Maine, University of Buffalo, North Dakota, Holy Names, just to name a few, or excuse me, Holy Cross. Did you always know that you wanted to be a head coach one day, or did you figure that you would stay an assistant coach?
You know, it's really been in the last 3 or 4 years that I said, hey, boy, let me start sniffing around at some of those things. And, you know, and my progression's kind of clear. I spent a good chunk of time, I think it was 6 years, as a graduate assistant coach or restricted earning coach, as the term is in our profession. And then I spent about 10 years as an assistant coach, whether it was coaching linebackers or DBs. And then the next, you know, 10 years or thereabouts, I spent in coordinator roles, whether it was special teams or defense. And, you know, I started to scratch that itch in the last 2 to 3 years. And I said, boy, you know, if the right opportunity came about that was right for my family, you know, that would be a pretty neat deal, and that would be a flattering deal. And that's a new challenge, and it certainly has been.
And talk to us a little bit, Coach, about your time at Old Dominion. Old Dominion's a Division I program, and they were having some rough seasons before you and the rest of the staff got there, and you guys were able to turn that program around. What do you think it was that helped turn Old Dominion's program around when you were there?
Well, that was a neat deal. Coach Wood, that was unbelievable. So in 2007, Old Dominion decided to start a football program again. They hadn't had football at Old Dominion since, like, World War II, 1941,
wow.
I think. So they started a program from scratch, and it was an unbelievable deal to see something. We were hired first. They hired coaches before they had facilities, before they had any foundation at all. So we got to get our hands dirty and everything, and we got to build our dream house. And it was great from a facility standpoint. We had input from the technology to the weight room to the locker design to the recruiting footprint, to all kinds of things. It was awesome. It was and really, I would attribute that experience right there as something that readied me to have a chance to become a head football coach, because we had a lot of things that were outside of traditional coaching that we engaged. And it started with a year in 2008, which was a practice year, where our players that we recruited on scholarship and otherwise just practiced for a full year. And that's an unbelievable grind, you know, to do that for 3 months. And we had a great group of kids who had bought into our vision, and Old Dominion every step of the way backed up everything they said they were going to do. And we watched this program go from literally nothing into my last season there was 2011, and we were a top 10 football team in 1AA or FCS football. And Old Dominion had done everything to support it, and so had the community, and some amazing coaches and some excellent players too. You know, a lot of people had some vision to see what could be based on the tools that were available and the support that was afforded.
Wow, that's a great story. So, yeah, from the ground up, and you don't hear too much of that in today's college football world. So that was a major feat of what you guys did at Old Dominion. Now, for those just joining with us, we're with Coach Andy Rondo, head coach at Pace University, a Division II program, literally in training camp right now. And talk to us, Coach, about the decision to go to Pace. What made you feel like that was a good opportunity for you?
Here's another story. I hope I'm not telling too many, and I hope I'm not boring, but it was kind of neat for us, for our family. You know, the athletic director here at Pace is a guy named Mark Brown, and Mark and I had a relationship in that he was an assistant AD at Old Dominion. And he called me this past November, and we had stayed in touch loosely through the years, and I knew he had moved on to Pace, and I had moved on to Holy Cross, and he said, you know, I've got a football job open. And I said, I know, I've seen about that. That's got to be exciting for you. This, he had been there for a couple of years, and this would be a big hire for him. And I said, that's got to be an exciting deal. What are you going to do? And he said, well, I want to talk to you about it. And I said, great, anything I can do to help, I'd love to. If you need references for guys in the Northeast or the Eastern Seaboard, you know, I have a fair number of connections, and I imagine you'd visit with some of the people that I'd know. I'm happy to be a sounding board. Or if you want me to recommend somebody, I'd be happy to. And he said, no, I want to talk to you about it. And I said, oh, no, Mike, I'm not interested. I had seen, you know, Pace, you know, has won one game in the last 40 years, and they've had some tragedy, and they've had some awful facilities and some poor budgeting. And I said, no, I think it's important in coaching and otherwise in life that you try to set your table for success. And he said, well, just hold on a second. So he began to paint a picture for me that really, as I related it, it sounded more like Old Dominion at the Division II level than anything else. And, you know, Pace had made a decision to increase their scholarship budget, increase their operating budget, to build a new stadium and a new football facility, and increase their coaches' salaries and hire more coaches. And then he had my attention, because we sit in a spot here, you know, and right in and around New York City, where there's a giant population base. And so based on what was here, it seemed like it was near the same. We had to start from scratch, and we had to build a program from next to nothing. So between the tie of knowing Mark and knowing what Mark is about, and, you know, he's a straightforward guy, he's a direct guy, and he's going to tell you the way it is, and they're following through on all that here, and, you know, they're going to give us the tools for success.
I'm glad you brought that up, Coach, because we preach, you know, managing relationships and the network. So just the fact that you were at Old Dominion and they loved you so much there that the AD offered you a head coaching job at Pace, that speaks volumes about your relationships and who you are. So I appreciate you bringing that up. Now, you guys are a Division II program. Can you highlight maybe some of the differences for the kids and parents that don't know between Division I and Division II programs?
Sure. In Division II, you know, the very first question we usually get asked is about scholarships. In Division II, the maximum amount of scholarships our program or any Division II program can carry is 36. And if you think about the trick to that, you know, to end up having a roster of, you know, 95 players or more in 36 scholarships, we don't have full scholarships in our program. It just doesn't exist. It's not possible. We couldn't have enough players to sustain a season. Whereas in FCS football, they're allotted 63 scholarships, and in Division I FBS, they've got 85. So, you know, it's certainly smaller on the budgetary scale from that standpoint. But it's really neat. You know, there's a lot of good players out there, and there's simply not enough scholarships to go around. You know, I had the opportunity to coach at North Dakota State, which has enjoyed three national championships in Division I. But I coached there in the late 90s and into the early 2000s when there was still a Division II program. And, you know, it gets sliced pretty thin, but you can have a tremendous caliber of athlete that's available to you just because there's simply not enough opportunities to go around, you know, for all the players that are out there. You know, I did some quick scratching, and the numbers are astonishing if you look at it for facts. A couple of years ago, there was a figure that said there was 1.1 million high school football players that played in that particular year. So if you say that, you know, let's say that there's 350,000 of them that were seniors, and there's only 6,000 Division I scholarships potentially available in a given year, you're talking about 1% to 2%. You're in rarefied air if you have that opportunity.
And that's not even including all the junior college players.
Yeah, right. You know, let alone junior college, let alone transfers, you know, let alone any other number of vehicles that can exist. You know, talent is certainly part of it, and timing is another, you know, and you know, there's so much to it, and you might do everything exactly right, and it's proven out in the draft year after year in the NFL draft, where you see all kinds of players, and sure, the majority are from big conferences in Division I, but there's a number of guys that are excellent football players because they get that opportunity in the NFL that come from other levels. We had all kinds of those guys at North Dakota State, you know, all kinds of guys that got a chance to go on and play in college or pro for some point in time, and all kinds of guys that you said, geez, we could have used him when I was a graduate assistant at Pittsburgh, you know, really good players that play at levels other than Division One.
Great point, Coach. And for those just joining on, we're with Coach Andy Rondo, head coach of Pace University. Coach, we do have a line where we can accept callers. Is that okay with you if we accept a call tonight?
Softballs only, though. Okay, Terrence?
I hear you, Coach. Let's see who we have on the line. Hello, can you hear us? You're on the line with Coach Terrence Wood and Coach Andy Rondo. Can you hear us? I have a 408 area code.
Yes, I can hear you.
Hello, who are we speaking with?
Hello.
Yes, you're on. Do you have a question for Coach?
Yes, my name is Jaquel Pitts.
Hey,
hi, Jaquel. How are you tonight,
buddy?
I'm doing great.
What's your question,
Hello?
Jaquel?
What can we do for you tonight, Jaquel?
Question.
What's on your mind?
Yes, hey, Coach, I was calling to see what advice would you give a player potentially struggling with work ethic and motivation?
Boy, that's hard, isn't it? You know, I often feel like we can't love it for them, you know. They've got to love it. I really think the ability is just a portion of it, you know. And I think one of the things we have to change here at Pace is the culture. And I think in order for anybody to have success at near any level of football, certainly in college, there's got to be a passion and there's got to be a motivation. You know, we identify our players. We've learned a philosophy from some other coaches around, and we identify our players at four different levels of motivation or competition. And we say, are they a survivor? Are they a competitor who's externally motivated? Are they a competitor who's internally motivated? Or are they a dominant, where they're internally motivated and they have the ability to bring others up with them? You know, and when they're that in that survivor mode, when they're struggling with that thing right there, boy, we ask those people and we encourage those people and we challenge those people to make a choice. And we try to frame it in things where they can own it. And rather than, I told you to do this, you know, try to paint pictures on how it'll help them and how they'll be more successful in life for staying the course or their work ethic or the competition, all these things that show up in other facets of their lives as we grow up, you know. But at the end of the day, I don't know how somebody can't own it. They've got to own it, and they've got to want it. You know, we can't want it for them. Probably not what you're looking for, Jaquel, but, you know, that's what I think.
You definitely covered the bases, Coach.
And thank you for calling in, Jaquel. Right. And that's a big I know that's big for a lot of players, and some come to school and then they fall out of passion with the game too. So I know that's huge on your radar, Coach. What can you tell us about parents and kids that may think they're Division I talent, but they may not be? Is there any way or any indicators to help them evaluate that?
Yeah, I don't know. I always think it's hard as a parent. Love is so strong, you know, and you only know what you know. And, boy, in this day and age in recruiting, you have such a tremendous access. It used to be if we wanted to evaluate a kid from California like the way you and I met, boy, you would have to send me a videotape and I'd have to wait in the mail. And somebody's got to pay for a FedEx for it to get here. Well, anymore, I can look at a kid from California or any other part of the country with the click of the email. So the world has gotten really accessible, and it's such a big world. There's so much out there. I think it's hard for a parent to know. And here's one of the things I think is a great idea for them. I always say, go to a practice and find out if you look like they look like. You know, so if you want to go and see, I don't know what the practice policies are in the Pac-10 or Pac-16, whatever it is right now, but if you think you're a Stanford product, go watch them practice. Do you look like they do? Do you move like they do? That's a pretty good barometer. And from a couple of respects, from a general respect, and then also from a standpoint of, hey, do they like to recruit my style of body? My example is this. My brother is a high school coach, and he had an excellent player, and he had excellent grades, excellent. And he was an undersized guy. And, well, the kid wanted to go to Harvard, and having played against Harvard a couple of times, I had an idea that their offensive coordinator, Joel Lamb, well, he likes big, long guys, and there's not a guy on his roster that's an undersized receiver. So there's probably not going to be much that's going to sway Joel away from his philosophy of what he wants. So I always think that's a good way to go. You know, try to evaluate the field and say, hey, do I really look like them? Am I that size? Do I possess that skill set? And that's a way. And it takes a great deal of humility to do that. You know, in order for us to get better in any way, we've got to be humble. You know, how can you get better if you don't have the ability to look at yourself and see the spots where you can get better?
Great point, Coach. Great point. And for, because you've coached at the Division I level and Division II level, and obviously I'm sure you're aware of some of the off-the-field issues that these kids have been getting into recently, and also academic issues, like what's going on at Notre Dame right now. Do you think there's a difference between Division I and Division II kids as far as their focus on and off the field?
Boy, Coach, that's an awesome question right there. You know, what I really think is, I think in the majority standpoint, no. I think we're talking about kids are kids, and you're going to get a broad spectrum, and we're going to get a broad variety within most teams. And, you know, I think generally, whether it's the Internet or social media or ESPN, that stuff is so accessible for whether it was Notre Dame or what happened at Texas a month ago or whatever else happens. That happens in the downtime that we read that. You know, that stuff pops up when there isn't other news going on. I don't know that there's a difference overall. You know, and I think more of it has to do with the type of program the coach is running or the athletic director or the people involved with that program, the standards they set, you know, or the pressure that's exuded on them to win and the risks that implies they have to take. You know, I don't think Notre Dame is any more or less good or bad than any other place. I think it just happened that the situation occurs, and when something happens at Notre Dame, it's going to get blown up way more than it will at Pace University, you know. I think kids are kids, and you get all kinds at all these places.
I hear you. And talk to us a little bit, because I know we're winding down here on time. We've got roughly about 4 more minutes, Coach. And once again, we appreciate your time. The kids and parents who are listening, they're so big on recruiting right now. How can a kid get on a Pace University radar?
Well, we're going to – before we need 3 prongs to be met. You know, we need – an academic prong to be met, and they've got to hit a standard that's impressive there. And there's got to be an athletic evaluation prong, and then there's got to be demonstration of traits, character traits that allow for success in a competitive environment. So many times you get videotape, or excuse me, it's not videotape, it's video online, and that's just one phase. You know, I would encourage the people to package their information to complete the picture. And the other thing, too, my personal take on it is I'm not a big believer in many services. You know, I don't think they're very discriminating. I think they take money, and then their job is to push that out all over the country. I like more intimate settings where, you know, the operation that's going to engage student-athletes or promote them really knows who they're talking about. You know, mass emails don't entertain me. Dear coach letters don't entertain me. You know, there's just too many of those. I'd like to get a more complete picture in the presentation, and I'd like to be able to get some background on who that person is. You know, in Division II football, we don't have all the resources of Division I. So really the kids who come and play Division II football, for them to get their degree and be successful in football, they've really got to have something to them. They've got to have a foundation.
And last but not least, Coach, we do have a young man, a before-you-go-pro kid, Valentino Miles, that did decide to go to Pace University, and he's one of your newest recruits. How is young Valentino adjusting, and how are things going for him in training camp?
Oh, Tino, man, he's doing all right, man. He's a duck to water now. You know, he's an engaging personality, and he's easy to make friends, and he's got an outgoing, gregarious personality, and he's got a work ethic, too. And he makes a difference, and he sets the tempo high, and he takes the challenges that our coaches give him to heart, and he's done quite well. You know, and he's climbing the depth charts, and he's getting a lot of reps, and we look forward to him making a difference here. We really do. You know, if you go all the way to California to get a kid from New York, you got to think there's something to him, and he's met our expectations to date.
Well, that is great news, Coach, and we're excited for young Valentino. We're also excited for the Pace football program with you at the helm. I know there's some big things to come. So, hey, Coach, you get some rest, and I know you got training camp in the morning, so we're going to let you go, but we really appreciate your time.
Coach Woods, you've got a great show here and a great program that you run, and I appreciate your time as well. Thank you so much. It's flattering.
All right, Coach. We'll have you back on maybe after the season. You have a good one.
Take care. Good night.
All right, you guys. So there you have it. We had a head coach in the locker room. He's taking time away from his team, time away from training camp to feed into you young men and your families. And he put a lot on the table. You know, hopefully you guys got something out of tonight's show. You heard what they're looking for and their prospects. And then once you get there, are you a survivor, a competitor externally, a competitor internally, or are you dominant? Does that mean you can take over a game? Does that mean you can be a leader on the team? Those are the things that coaches evaluate. So, hey, I know a lot of you guys are about to start your seasons within the next week or two. Good luck. God bless. Hopefully you guys can have the type of year that you really want to have. We have another amazing show on Thursday with Mr. Jay Foreman. This is somebody who is an NFL vet, and he's also in the media world as far as college football. So you guys definitely want to tune in on Thursday night. I am your host, Coach Terrence Wood, and for the rest of the BYGP team and our executive producer of content, Ms. Ashley Goodman, that is all. See you guys at the top. I know you say, hey, 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 h
Mm-hmm.